Thank you for that special, and praise the Lord that Christ went to the cross for our sins. Luke chapter 17, this morning we're going to begin a new series. If it's not too early, I'd like to say happy Thanksgiving. You're going to blink twice and it'll be Christmas. Wake up the next day and it'll be 2019. Everything seems to, life just seems to be moving on a pace. Everything seems to be happening so quickly. I feel like we just started 2018. I just now learned to write the right date on my checks. And it takes me half a year to figure that out every year. But we are at that time, that season. I'm thankful Wednesday night, in spite of the weather, got to hand out lots of gospel tracts and some candy to some kids on Wednesday night Halloween, and had a lot of folks in here to open God's Word together and have the preaching of God's Word. It was good. And now we look towards Thanksgiving, though some of you are like me, we just kind of look past Thanksgiving because Christmas music started Halloween Day. I couldn't even wait till November 1st this time. How many of you just don't like that? You want to wait till Thanksgiving? Anybody? How many of you already have your Christmas tree up? There you go. There you go. God bless you. Yeah, see, that's some of us, we just want to get as much out of it as we can. You know, we want to celebrate as long as we can. And I love this time of year. But we don't want to look past giving thanks to God, because that's not something we just do on one day in November. It's something we ought to do every moment of every day. We give thanks to God. I love this time of year. I love that there is an emphasis on giving God thanks, because He has blessed us so much. And we just want to glorify Him and be reminded this time of year to always give thanks to the Lord. Luke chapter 17 is where we're going to find our text. And we need to come back to the Lord and give Him glory every single day. If you're able, let's stand together. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace today, we thank you for your great love, for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for your sacrifice on Calvary, for your conquering of death and hell and the grave when you rose again the third day. Thank you for the promises of eternal life, of forgiveness of sin, through the power of the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray today that those who are sin sick would be made whole through faith in Christ today. Lord, those who have been made whole would return and give glory to God, that we would fall on our faces before you today, that we would give you thanks each and every day of our life. Thank you for the healing that you give, the cleansing that you give, for your incredible love and compassion and mercy towards us. Please convict our hearts today. Lord, let us go from here changed, encouraged, equipped to give you glory and to live for you, to be witnesses for you. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. Towards the end of Jesus' ministry, he takes one big trip around, and he's coming back around through Samaria and Galilee on his way back to Jerusalem in his last year of ministry. And as he comes through Samaria and Galilee, he enters, the Bible says, into a certain village. This was we talk sometimes about divine appointments. This was a divine meeting, because Jesus never went anywhere by accident. Jesus always knew exactly where he was going. He knew exactly who he would meet there. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Now, for these 10 men, these lepers who saw Jesus, they stood afar off, who would have this encounter with Christ. These men, for them, it was just a chance encounter. They were in the city, they were in that village, and they just happened to be that Jesus came by, but it was no accident that Jesus showed up that day. It was no accident Jesus always had a purpose. Every encounter with Jesus obviously was a divine encounter. He always did his Father's will. He had a direction. He had a destination. He had a person or a group of people that he would impact. And friends, I just think that's so awesome to know that the Lord can work in our lives to where we can have divine appointments, that we can have divine encounters, that we can have divine meetings, that God can use us, that every person or group of people we meet, that through Christ we can have an impact on them, that it can become something more than just a chance encounter, that God can work through our lives the way he worked through the life of Christ. It was a divine meeting. It just simply says that he entered into a certain village. But as you read that, don't think it was just a chance thing. This was a specific time, a specific place with specific people, and Jesus would accomplish his purpose this day. As he had this divine meeting, he met the diseased men. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, leprosy is a horrible disease. And in biblical times, it seemed to have an even greater impact on people's lives. Leprosy was hereditary. You passed down from your parents. Leprosy is highly contagious. Leprosy always grows. It always spreads. Leprosy brought shame and disgrace to you and to your family. Leprosy separated you from others. Leprosy was deforming and it was unclean. Leprosy was incurable except by the power of God. Now, I don't know if that sounds familiar to you, but leprosy is a picture of our sin. It's a picture of the curse of sin. Friends, listen, sin is hereditary. You inherit it from your father. We're all born with a sin nature. Sin, friends, is contagious. It spreads from one person to another. Friends, listen, evil communications corrupt good manners. If you run around with the wrong kind of people, you are the wrong kind of people. If you expose yourself to the wrong kind of music and the wrong movies and TV shows and the wrong social media, it's going to infect you. When you're around people who are doing the wrong things, those things are going to infect you. Sin is contagious. Sin always grows. It always spreads. It's like a cancer. It's like a leprosy. It always grows. It always spreads. It doesn't stay confined to one thing. And so many times people think that they can play with sin. They can dabble in sin. They can just go so far and not go any farther. But it doesn't work like that, because sin gets a hold of you and it spreads and it brings forth sin and it brings forth death. Listen to me. Sin always grows. You've heard it said many times, I'm sure. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. And those things are absolutely true about sin. Sin brings shame and disgrace to you and your family. Sin brings shame and disgrace to you and your family, and I might add to your church and to your Savior. Sin separates you from God and from others. Sin brings separation because sin brings death, and death is separation. Sin is deforming and unclean. It's amazing to me how we can look at other people's sin and we think it's really awful and it's really terrible and it's really bad, but we see our own sin, we don't see it as quite so bad. But friends, I'm telling you that sin is unclean. Sin is completely incurable except by the power of God. A lot of people are trying to outweigh their sin with good deeds. A lot of people are trying to clean up their lives on their own. A lot of people are trying to do enough good to overcome the bad. And I'm here to tell you today, there's no way that you can deal with your sin problem on your own. The only way our sin can be cured is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, you have sin in your life. You need a divine encounter with Jesus. In the Bible, if you want to study it on your own, You can look to Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 and following. Leviticus chapter 14, and the law laid out the procedures to deal with leprosy. But in Leviticus 13, 45, it says, "The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' And all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." And friends, if you got leprosy and you went to the priest and he checked it out and he said, "Yes, it's leprosy and you're unclean," it was a terrible thing because you had to leave your family. You had to leave your home. You had to leave your occupation. You couldn't even stay in town. The only people you could be friends with was other lepers. That's why there were 10 men. It seems from the text to indicate that 9 of those men were Jews and one of them was a Samaritan. And the Samaritans ran around with the Jews only because they were all lepers. You had to leave your family. I just want to make sure you understand tonight, or this morning, how serious this is, because I just want you to get it for a second. Imagine what it would be like tomorrow. You wake up and you've got this terrible disease and you'll never kiss your wife or your kids again. You'll never be able to tuck your kids in bed again. You'll never be able to sit down and have a meal with your family again. And why would you want to? You wouldn't want to infect your family with this terrible, deadly disease. You wouldn't want to keep bringing that wickedness home to your family, that uncleanness home to your family. The best thing you could do was to stay away until you were made clean. And I want to tell you today, we need to start seeing our sin like God sees our sin. Our sin is exceedingly sinful. Our sin is terrible wickedness. Our sin is terrible uncleanness. And hey, fellas, all of you dads and granddads, listen, we need to be men of God who are following Christ, following hard after God and seeking to do His will and keeping our lives purified by putting off the old man and putting on the new man, because I don't want to infect my wife and my children with the sin that's in my life. I don't want to have wickedness in my life that's going to rub off on my children. I want to live a life of holiness and a life of godliness before my family. I want to lead them in the right way. Any of you dads that are trying to say, "Do as I say and not as I do," I want to let you know it's not going to work. We need to step up and be men of God. Moms, grandmas, teachers, aunts, uncles, big brothers, big sisters, all of us have influence on others, and it's vital that we walk with the Lord. And that we don't bring uncleanness into those that we influence. Leprosy, according to historians, usually started on the face or in the extremities. And I find it interesting that history tells us that usually leprosy began in the eyes, around the eyes, and the hands. I think that's interesting because as a picture of sin, isn't that where we usually start? What we see and what we do. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, that's where it begins. And this disease would start to manifest on the outside and the face and on the hands, the extremities. But it was just that outward visibility. The truth is that disease had been there all along because it's inside of you and the very marrow of your bones. Leprosy was a terrible disease, friends, because as it worked through your body, it would tear you apart piecemeal. And many times it started on the extremities and worked its way in. Literally, people's appendages would fall off of their bodies. They literally watched themselves die piecemeal. They would lose fingers. They would lose hands. They would lose toes. They would lose feet. They would lose their legs. They would fall apart piece by piece by piece from this disease that was inside of them. One historian said, "Life still lingers amid the desolation." You know, so many times we see people's lives, they're just falling apart. I mean, piece by piece, it looks like their life is just falling apart. Their life, their family, everything around them is just falling apart, piece by piece by piece. And we look at it and we go, well, the problem is the drugs. The problem is the alcohol. The problem is the anger. The problem is the gambling. The problem is, and we keep naming off all of these things, but really the symptom, those are just symptoms. That's just what's happening because of the root problem, and it's sin. It's the disease that's inside of them that's tearing apart their lives, and we watch it all around us every day, and you watch your own life. And things start to fall apart when things start to not be put together like they should be, and the reason is because we've allowed sin to come into our life, and I'm here to tell you today that there's no cure apart from Christ. I'm thankful for counselors. I'm thankful for rehabilitation programs. I'm thankful for all the different things that society has to offer to help people. That's all good and well. But I'm here to tell you today, and you can mark this down, if a person doesn't repent of their sin and come to Christ, they will not be cured. Why? You can't overcome addiction? You tell me you can't overcome addiction if you're not a Christian? That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you, because the problem is sin, and there's no cure for sin other than Christ. He's the one who died and rose again. He's the one who took the punishment on himself. He's the only way for us to overcome sin. These men were diseased. The Bible says that they stood afar off. That's what they had to do. They had to stay away. In verse 13, look at it. It says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they were far away. They couldn't get close to anybody. They had to keep their distance from everyone. They had to wear a covering like a mask. That's what we do today, right? You go to the emergency room or the urgent care. You go to the doctor's office. How many of you go in? You get a mask. Not necessarily to protect other people, but to protect yourself, right? Well, that was the idea. They had a covering over their lip, and they would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, so people would stay away from them. And when they saw Jesus, they had heard of Jesus, they knew who he was, and they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And friends, that's exactly what you need to do today if there's sin in your life. It's not Jesus, Master, I'm going to be really, really good. I'm going to do better. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to change the way that I live. I promise I'll do better this time. No, no, no. Forget all of that. Just say, have mercy on me. You can't fix yourself. You can't turn over a new leaf. You can't make it better on your own. The only thing any of us could ever do is plead for the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. They cry out, have mercy on us. I want you to notice the directed miracle in verse 14, when he saw them. Friends, I want you to know, nobody ever saw like Jesus. I love things like this. It's so simple. When he saw them. But listen, Jesus sees everything. He knew they were there before he got there. He knew who they were. He knew everything about them. He knew every part of their disease and every wicked thought they'd ever had. He knew everything about them, but he still looked at them. And when he looked at them, he didn't see their disease. He didn't see their sin. He didn't see everything that was wrong with them and how they didn't deserve it. He saw them. He had compassion on them. What did they cry out for? Mercy. What is that? Compassion? Pity? Mercy. And he saw them. I don't know about you. I have this really mixed emotion and this really mixed response in my heart when I think about Jesus seeing me, because on the one hand, praise God, he sees me, he knows me, he loves me, he cares for me. But on the other hand, he sees me, he knows me. He knows every innermost thought, every wicked thing that I've ever said or done or thought. He knows it all. He knows everything about me better than I know myself. So I rejoice that he sees me, but I'm terrified that he sees me. But his mercy prevails. His grace overcomes. Because where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, friends, I'm glad you don't see me the way Jesus does. If you saw me like Jesus does, I wouldn't be your pastor. You wouldn't want to be my friend. But he sees me and he still has mercy on me, friend. Today he sees you and he still loves you. He saw them and he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Go show yourselves to the priest. Now under the law, when somebody was unclean and they thought maybe their uncleanness was getting better, maybe they had the marks in their skin and it was starting to improve, they would go to the priest and the priest would examine them and he would check them to see if they were clean or unclean. The priest had very detailed instructions from God on what makes it clean and unclean, and they had to go through this huge process. You can read about it in Leviticus chapter 14. And they would shut them up, they would check them again, and if they were declared clean, then they had to go through this whole process to be brought back into the camp, to be brought back into their home, to be brought back into the sanctuary. There was a lot that had to go on, and sacrifices that had to be made, and blood that had to be shed, and all of these things had to be done. And so these men were still lepers when Jesus said, go show yourself. What they were hoping was that they would go to the priest and the priest would look and say, okay, it's getting better. I'm going to shut you up for a little while and we'll check it again. And they would start the process of being made ceremonially clean. But are you with me? That's what they thought was going to happen. There's a Samaritan in the mix, which is a problem in the first place because he's going to have a hard time getting to the priest. He's not a Jew. And so as they go, as they went, they were cleansed. Obedience to the word of Jesus Christ brought cleansing. Isn't that good? You know what will happen for you today? Obey the word of Christ and you will be made clean. That's what he told his disciples in John 15. Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. If you'll obey his word, you will be made clean. Listen, if they'd have just stood there and looked at him, if they'd have said, I don't have any sacrifices, I don't have any lambs, I don't have any money, I don't have any turtle doves or two young pigeons, I don't have the sacrifice, I don't have the offering, I'm a Samaritan, I can't go to the priest. If they'd have started in with all of their excuses, they would not have been made clean. But at the word of Jesus, they didn't argue, didn't complain, didn't make any protest at all. They just turned around and headed for the priest. That's good, isn't it? And that's what all of us do, right? I mean, we get our Bibles out in the morning, we start our devotional, and God convicts us, and he says, you need to stop doing that, and we go. Or God says, you need to step up, and you need to start serving, start doing more in the church, and we just say, yes, Lord, and we go, right? No, because we're all a bunch of knuckleheads. And we want to argue with God. We're so dumb. I'll say we, so you won't get mad at me. But we're so dumb. How stupid do we have to be to argue with God? We're like Moses. He's talking to God. I am. The bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. He's standing on holy ground, and he's arguing with Jehovah about what he can and can't do. And we study that and we go, how idiotic do you have to be? And then we do the same thing. Well, there's your answer. That's how idiotic you have to be. Don't argue with God. If he says stop doing something, he will give you the grace to stop doing it. It's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit that we can do anything. He says, don't do it. Don't do it. He says, do it. Serve. Be a witness. Pray. Proclaim the gospel. Get involved. Whatever it is, say, yes, Lord. I like Because there's no record that they actually said anything. They just went. They just went. We look in the Old Testament at Naaman, the Syrian who was cleansed of his leprosy, and he argued. He was like, man, the rivers in Damascus are way better than this nasty river here, and I ought to be over there. And his servants talk him into doing what the prophet said to do, and he was cleansed of his leprosy. Why? Because he was obedient. All the way. He dipped 7 times. Not once, not 5 times, not 6 times, but 7 times he dipped, and nothing happened until he was obedient to the word. And the same thing is true for us, friends. When we are obedient to the word, God will cleanse. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw, he was healed. How many of you guys love your family? If you raise your hand, it's true. Every time we have testimonials and I'm like, what are you thankful for? And almost everybody in here stands up and says, I'm thankful for my family. Sometimes you just got to say it to remind yourself, right? I don't know if you can imagine what it would be like to be separated from your family. I can't. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love coming home and my kids run and they're so excited. They're, Daddy. I love that. I love to read them stories and to pray with them and to tuck them into bed. I love sitting together and having family devotionals every night. I love sitting around the table and eating dinner. I can't imagine what it would be like to be separated from my family. I can't imagine what it would be like to not be able to go home. All of those things had to be in these guys' minds when Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest, and they start walking away. And as they went, they were cleansed. And listen, friends, when Jesus cleanses, he does it all the way. I'm telling you that they were diseased. They were probably bandaged up. They had the marks on their face, on their hands, and on their body. They had the lesions all over, and it was there, and this disease was on them. But as they walked, something changed, and you know they had to feel it. As the pain went away, as the itchiness went away, as the scaliness went away, as everything just changed in an instant, I was diseased, I was lesioned, it was so filthy, so unclean, and all of a sudden now I'm made clean, and as they're walking, something changes, and they look. And they're made new, and they're made clean, and the disease is gone, and the pain is gone, and the filth is gone. Can you imagine? I'm going to tell you, my first impulse would be to run home. We'll go home. I would go run home and kiss my wife and hug my kids. I want to go home. When we look at the scriptures, it appears that the 9 continue going to the priest. We have no indication that they turn around and give Jesus a glance. They don't do anything. They just keep going. He said, go to the priest. I'm going to the priest. Not a glance back, not a second thought. They just keep going. But one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. One of them returned. When he looked down and he saw that he was cleansed, I can imagine the marvel as he looked and he checked and he took the bandages off and it was clean. He was clean. And all he could do was turn around. He turned back to Jesus and with a loud voice he glorified God. He wasn't ashamed. He didn't care what anybody thought. He was dying and now he's given life. He was unclean and now he's made clean. He was without hope, but now he has hope. And there was nothing in the world that was going to stop him from shouting, praise the Lord! Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Man, he comes back to Jesus. He falls down on his face. He returned. He returned. He rejoiced. He reverenced. 1 Peter chapter 2. Please look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 25. First Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Friends, our sin has separated us from God, but Christ, in his sacrifice, in his dying on the cross, he made a way for us to come back to God. I want you to get this. The leper returned to Jesus. He couldn't get close to him. Remember, before he had to stand afar off, before he had to say unclean, before he had to lift up a loud voice and plead for mercy. But now he can praise God with a loud voice. But notice where he is. He's on his face at Jesus' feet. Where he was separated because of his disease, now he's brought near because of Christ's mercy. Isn't that good? You couldn't get close to God until Christ had mercy on you. You couldn't get close to him. But now you can be on your face at his feet, because of his sacrifice, we can be returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He rejoiced. He, with a loud voice, glorified God. If you turn over a couple of pages there in 1 Peter, you can see 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He rejoiced. He gave thanks to God. He praised God with a loud voice. Hey, I want to tell you, friends, if you can't worship the Lord with a loud voice in this building when we're singing together, I have very little hope that you're ever going to praise him out there. If we can't lift up our voices and glorify God in here, how are we ever going to do it out there? If you were a leper and you were cleansed, wouldn't you want the world to know what God had done for you? Tell the world what great things that God has done, what great grace, what great mercy he showed on you. Wouldn't you want the world to know? We've been healed of a lot more than just leprosy. The leprosy continued, that man would have died. Physically. But if you continue in your sin, you will die in your sin and you will be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. And when you've been saved, I mean born again by grace of God, by the grace of God through faith in Christ, friends, we ought to lift up our voice and rejoice. And it shouldn't just be Sunday morning worship, song service. I mean every day we ought to lift up our voices and praise. He reverenced. He returned. He rejoiced. He reverenced. He fell down on his face at his feet. He fell down on his face at his feet. Verse 16. Friends, this is worship. That's worship. We think that getting our hymnal out and singing is worship. We think that somebody standing with the microphone and singing a special is worship. We think that driving in our car with the radio blare and singing along, we think that's worship. I want to help you out. Worship is falling on your face at the feet of Jesus. That's what worship is. And I think if you look in your heart today, some of you would have to be honest and say, it's been far too long since I've been on my knees before my Savior. It's been far too long since I've been humbled before my God. It's been far too long that I remembered what Christ did for me and how He saved me. I'm not a good person. I'm not righteous. I have no goodness of my own. It's only by His mercy He saved me. And I want to praise His name. I want to fall at His feet in worship. We're too prideful. We're too proud. You care way too much about what other people think. Well, if I went down front, got on my knees in front of the church, they'd think there was some kind of sin in your life. Let me help you out. We all know there's sin in your life. I don't care how good you think you are, how good you think your reputation is. We're not stupid. Okay, maybe we are, but we still know, as stupid as I may be, I know that there's sin in your life. I couldn't go down front. People would think there was something going on. You're too proudful. You're too proud, too prideful, too worried about what other people think. What we ought to be worried about is what God thinks. You remember there were nine that kept going. Only one returned to give glory to God. And he fell down on his face at his feet. He recognized where his blessings came from. He gave him thanks. Giving him thanks. He fell at the feet of Jesus and he thanked Jesus. Jesus was the one who healed him. Jesus was the one who had mercy. Jesus was the one who cleansed him. And he gave him thanks. He recognized where the blessing came from. And friends, that's what we need to do today. See, we've got a choice. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. There are those who will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not trust in Christ. They will reject Christ, and they will not glorify him, and they will not be thankful. Those are the unsaved. But there are those who will give him glory. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you trust him, when you believe in him, you are thankful to him. What I'm trying to tell you is, when you are ungrateful to God, you're like an atheist. It's the atheists, it's the unbelievers, they're the ones who are not thankful. But if you believe and you're saved, you ought to be grateful to God. And he was a Samaritan. You study John 4. Jesus goes down by Sychar to Jericho's well. The Samaritan woman comes. You remember that? And when she's talking to Jesus, she says the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Bible's telling us in Luke 17 this man was Samaritan because it's important, because the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. But guess what? Jesus did. The Jews might not have, but Jesus did. He was not rejected. It didn't matter where he was from. It didn't matter what his previous religious affiliation was. It didn't matter where he grew up. It didn't matter what color his skin was. It didn't matter how much money he had or didn't have. It didn't matter what past sin he had in his life. Nothing mattered except that he cried out to Jesus for mercy. And when Jesus healed him, he returned to give him glory in faith. I want to tell you what I believe. I believe 10 men were cleansed of their leprosy that day, but only one of them received everlasting life. Why? He fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. In verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? Nobody came back to give glory to God except for this stranger. Except for this one who's not even a Jew. And look at what he says in verse 18. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He wasn't just cleansed. He was made whole. You know what happened to you the day you repented and trusted Christ as your Savior? You were made whole. Your spirit was made right with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was a divine meeting between Jesus, the Savior of all, and 10 diseased men. All of them obeyed Christ and were cleansed from their leprosy, but only one returned to Him, rejoiced in Him, reverenced Him, recognized Him, and was made whole by Him. I wonder where we are today. See, I believe this. I believe it's a good thing that you're at church today. I believe it indicates that you have some idea that the blessings you have in this life come from the Lord. I believe it indicates that some of you put your faith in Christ and you want to worship Him. But I also know this is true. It's entirely possible to be here week in and week out and not really worship the Lord. It's possible to sing the praises and say the prayers and to say amen and to go through the motions without truly worshiping God in your heart. It's possible to have all of this on the surface and not be truly grateful to God in your heart. So I plead with you today to examine yourself, because He sees us and He's not impressed with our lip service. He's not impressed when we draw near to Him with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him. He's not impressed. He knows better. And who are you trying to impress? I want to be right with the Lord in my heart. And that only happens by crying out to Him for mercy. You need to cry out to Him for mercy today. I want to be real in my worship and my walk with the Lord. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to make you think something about me. I care what Jesus thinks about me. I care what He sees when He looks at me. He's looking at us today. So I plead with you, if there's anything that's not right between you and the Lord in your heart today, if there's anything that's not genuine, that you'd get right with Him today. While we stand together, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. Two kinds of people in this building right now. Unclean and clean. Every person here was born unclean, but some of you have been made clean because you cried out to Jesus for mercy. You trusted in Him, and He forgave you, and He cleansed you, and He gave you life everlasting. Two kinds of people here today, unclean and clean. Friend, if you are yet unclean, if you are yet in your sin, you can repent of your sin and trust in Christ, and He will make you whole. If you've been cleansed, if you've been made clean, are you grateful? Are you returning to Him day by day to rejoice in what He's done for you? Do you recognize that He is the one who's cleansed you? Are you worshiping Him with your life and with your lips? If He's convicting your heart today, please humble yourself. Don't care what anybody else thinks. Humble yourself before the Lord and seek His face in prayer right now while we sing.